Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together and we can praise your holy name. That we can learn about you. That we can learn from you. Instruct us today, Lord, with your word. Change us, Lord, with your word. Help us, Lord, to receive everything you have for us this morning. Open up heaven for us, Lord. Pour out your love and your spirit. Pour out understanding, Lord. And pour out your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Gonna have you guys participate. Does everybody feel like participating? I'm gonna read Psalm 136. The whole thing. I'm gonna read the first half of the verse and I want you guys to read the second. You'll figure it out. You probably after a while you won't even have to look at it to see what you're gonna say. Psalm 136. If you're already at Psalm 138, all I had to do is turn one page. In fact, I barely had to do that. Ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone does great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave the land for an inheritance. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Confidence in God. Is God faithful? Psalm 57:2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Why begin something if you're not going to finish it? Why begin something if you won't finish it? Why begin something if you never intended to finish it? There's an old saying, don't start something you can't finish. I think I've heard that on a lot of playgrounds. Can the Lord finish what he starts? Or how about, you can change it a little bit, don't start something you won't finish. Will he finish what he starts? Or how about, don't start something you'll lose interest in? Is God going to lose interest in us? He has every reason to, but he never has he? And he never will. Our opening scripture this morning, and that's going to be the text of my message, is Psalm 138:8. And I'm going to read it again. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Who's being spoken of here when the psalmist says, me? Does this apply to me or to you? Does it apply to everybody? No. No, it doesn't apply to everybody. It's not a blanket that covers the whole earth. How can we know for sure that it's for us? The answer is found in a careful reading of the verse, in which we find three questions to ask ourselves. Question number one, is our relationship with God based on self-achievement, on what we've done? Question number two, have I experienced firsthand God's mercy? Have we come before his throne with repentance, asking for forgiveness, pleading the blood of the Lamb over us? Question number three, has he worked in our lives? Has he done miracles or made changes in us? You know, for quite a while, I've been telling people I was saved three times. The first time was when I was 9 years old. It started because I memorized a verse from Isaiah 1:18. Come and let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Somehow that had that effect on me, and I knew what it meant, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Second time, excuse me, the second time was when I was about 22 years old. And the third time, the time I said where I tell people it really took then, and I did get more serious about it, but when I was 20 years after that. But when was I saved? I was saved when I was 9 years old. How do I know that? God delivered me from alcohol before the third time that I went forward. 15 years before that, he delivered me from thievery. He made it repulsive in my thinking to even do that. Why am I going to put that label or that name on myself for just a few trinkets? He softened my speech. Gradually, he took away swear words, profanity. Oh, I still surprise myself every once in a while. But the fact that it bothers me tells me something. See, all this happened before that third time, that final time I was saved. I was saved at 9 years old. I can say he had his hand of protection on me all that time. Why? Because he'd begun a good work in me then. And he's faithful to perform it until the Lord comes back. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. There's three things that we're going to look at today. Number one is our confidence in God. Number two is the foundation of our confidence. Number three is what should be, or what is, our response to this confidence. We're going to look at this passage word for word. The Lord will perfect the Lord. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began a good work? The Lord did. It wasn't me. Who finishes? He does. When does he finish? He works on it all our lives. You notice it doesn't say, it says perform. It doesn't say complete. Some translations do say complete, but I think the King James Version has it right when it says perform, because he keeps doing it. My confidence must not be in my own efforts. My confidence must be based on divine mercy. The Lord will. Our confidence is based on something that happens in the future. There's a gospel song. I like gospel music. I like a lot of different types of music, but I like Southern gospel music. And one of the lyrics in the song is, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. God exists outside of time. He's not limited by time. Why do I worry about the future? Because God. Why do I not worry about the future? Because God is already there. He already has it in his hand. I remember I was living in a motel room in Sacramento. I've talked about that before. This is in 1987, and landlords were Christian. You know, those annoying people that talk about Jesus and they gave us a poster. The poster showed a little bear on it, and the words said, help me remember, Lord, that nothing's going to happen today that you and I can't handle together. I started looking at that, and I said, that's right. That's right. And that's when he started making changes in my life. The Lord will perfect. Some think we're going to be perfected in this lifetime. I don't think I'll ever meet a human being that is perfect here on earth. I know I've met a lot of people that think they are. I don't want to meet a human being that's perfect in this world. Perfect people intimidate me. I believe we are being perfected here, but it will be in glory when it's completed. And I believe we're all at different stages of perfection. Paul talked about two types of people, those that are saved, those that aren't. He talked about two types of people that are saved. He talked about the carnal Christian, the immature, the baby Christian. And he talked about the spiritual Christian, the one that's more mature. We're at different degrees in our walk. We need to keep that in mind when we deal with people. We might be further along than they are. We may not be as far along as they are. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That which. You know, you could take the space out from between those two words and make it one word. That which. Actually, those two words are very broad in their scope. They cover a lot of territory. There's nothing specific here, is there? There's no list, this and that and this and that. We're not limited to one area or another. If it concerns me, God will make it perfect. That which concerneth me. Concerneth. What's included in this? I think I've already told you everything. If it's a concern to us, it's included. A lot of our concerns are outward, but what about those that are inward? Which are more important? The ones inside, aren't they? Most of the ones outside are just things that we just, sometimes it's just stuff. So what about the inward ones? Are we concerned with the things of God? Are we concerned with our relationship with Him, with our walk with Him? Are we concerned with the state of our soul? Do we get more excited over our heavenly mansion than our home here in Quartzsite? Of course, our homes here in Quartzsite have wheels. I guess we're not going to need wheels on our homes in heaven, are we? That's what's sticking to my beard. Piece of tape on the microphone. That which concerneth me. I talked a little bit about me at the beginning. But I got a couple more things to say about it. The faith that's contained in our text is a personal faith. It's good to know that God will perfect all His saints. And yes, if you're saved, if you've washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a saint. You don't have to go through a ceremony for it. If you're saved, you're a saint. The Bible calls us saints. It's good to know that He will perfect all His saints. But when I realize that that includes me, well, that just kind of blows me away. Why me? It's like that song. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the kindnesses You show? Number two, what is the foundation of our confidence? It's in the second part of that verse. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy mercy. Whose mercy? The one that's perfecting us. God's mercy. You know, that mercy that's new every morning. Thy mercy, O Lord. You know, there's a reason why He's called Lord. He likes to have His way, doesn't He? But you know what? He will have His way. He speaks, and it is. You know, on this date in 1969, man set foot on the moon. I didn't realize that till this morning. And I know some people deny it happened. I don't. I worked on the airplane that brought back the shuttle. That's about the high point of my military, my unillustrious military career. So it's more important. So yes, I believe it. You know, there used to be a joke about the moon being made out of green cheese. Have you heard that? What would happen if God were to say the moon's made out of green cheese? Guess what? The moon is made out of green cheese as soon as God says it. He speaks and it is. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had to. Lazarus was dead, but yet he had to obey that command. Come forth. You know, he said, Lazarus, come forth. What would have happened if he'd have just said, come forth? The graves would empty. Everybody would come forth. And you know what? That's going to happen. There's going to come a time when he's going to say, come forth. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. What if God's mercy toward us should change? It can't. It endures forever. God's word says so. I think we kind of established that at the beginning, didn't we? What if we sin too much? His mercy endures forever. It's not about us. We are the benefactor of a covenant that was entered into by God the Father and God the Son. You die for these people, I will give them to you. That's it. It's not about us. But we've got this characteristic in our being that we think we have to perform, we have to do something. No, we do something because we're saved. We do something because he changes us little by little and we become more like him. It's about him, the one that shed his blood and died for us, the one whose mercy endures forever. What is our response to this confidence? Well, it should. I like to think it does lead us to prayer. At the end of the verse, it says, forsake not the works of thine own hands. That's a prayer. Lord, don't let your enemies say you can't protect your people, you can't perfect your people. Don't let them say you won't finish what you started. John 10, 28 and 29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Is he going to forsake the works of his hands? No. Then why do we need to pray? If he's going to do it anyway, why do we need to pray? You know, that question gets asked in our minds an awful lot, doesn't it? We call it a prayer of faith, don't we? We show faith when we pray. Most of our prayers end with the word amen. I always say it twice because it has two meanings. And I want both of them to be said. May it be, and it will be. Amen. In Romans 10:17, It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. James chapter 5 talks about Elijah. It says he was a man with like passions as us. I get this feeling that Elijah should have this big S on his chest. You know, that's he's more than I can ever hope to be. But yet he's a man like me. If you read his story, the record, the account of his life, he had his moments of doubt too. He ran from Jezebel after slaying the 450 prophets of Baal. He had his moments. He was a man with like passions as us, but he prayed earnestly. He prayed that the rain would stop, and God stopped the rain. Now I said that faith comes by hearing, and Paul said it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Was he told that God was going to stop the rain? Yes, he was, in Deuteronomy. If you turn from me, I will stop the rain. God said that. Elijah believed it. Then God came to him after 3.5 years of no rain and said, go gather Ahab together and the 450 prophets of Baal, and I will send the rain. So he did. They had a little contest, and God won. I won't say Elijah won. Elijah was just on the winning team. So he went up on the mountain, Mount Carmel. It's right next to the Mediterranean Sea. And he prayed. The Bible says in 1 Kings 18 that he put his face down between his legs and on the ground and prayed earnestly. And he sent his servant several times to check to see if it's any sign of rain yet. Blue skies, no rain. The seventh time, the servant came back and said, you know, there's a little cloud forming over the Mediterranean Sea about the size of a man's fist. Elijah went to Ahab and said, you better get back to town. It's going to rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. That's faith speaking. He believed it so much that he heard it. Moses and Jehoshaphat believed so much that they could see the salvation of the Lord. Our faith should work that way. And the rain came. God is faithful. He will perfect that which concerns me. He will perfect his people. His mercy will endure forever. You're amazing, Lord. When I look back over my life and I see the times when you've been there, protecting me, sparing me, perfecting me, you amaze me, Lord. You are faithful. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for touching your people this morning, because I believe you did. I know you touched me. Lord, continue the work that you started in us. Perfect that which concerns me, Lord. And Lord, we're getting ready for you to come back. It's getting closer and closer, and we know it. Help us to be ready, Lord, please. If there's anybody in this room that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they need to come talk to me. We need to get it done. You need to get it done. Let God heal you. Lord, I thank you for your salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid for it. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for your people. I thank you, Lord, that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, despising the shame. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless your people today. I pray, Lord, that your words will stay with all of us. I pray, Lord, that there'll be support when we need support, that they will give us strength, that they will give us direction, and that they will continue to show your love to us. Lord, help us to be everything you want us to be. And I believe, according to your word, that you're doing that. Amen and amen. Lord, bless your people this morning. Keep us safe. Keep us close to you, keep us focused on you, and bring us back safe when we meet again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.